From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in San Ramon.
Larkspur in Marin County.
Simpson Beach.
I live in Noe Valley in Novato.
I live in San Anselmo right next to Fairfax.
Coming up, we'll hear how one local lab is using toys to make chemistry accessible to the world.
All the components are printed flat on a sheet of paper. You fold it together and you get a fully functional microscope.
Then we'll learn about a mentoring program that makes kids the heroes of their own stories.
Everybody's riveted. It's that drumbeat and then the craft of the storyteller.
And we'll summon some friends to help us solve this week's audiograph mystery sound.
If I want them to come, then I just use simple like, come, 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 come. They know that I need them to come.
We're going to get your goat today on Cross Currents. Stay with us. The rapid spread of the Ebola virus in West African countries has dominated news headlines for the past few months. And this past Tuesday marked the first case diagnosed in the U.S.
Dr. Tom Frieden of the Centers for Disease Control announced late this afternoon the patient was infected in Liberia and is now in an isolation unit at a Dallas hospital.
Although the Ebola outbreak is claiming the lives of more and more people every day, a disease like malaria kills more than 600,000 people a year. These diseases can be quickly diagnosed with a microscope and simple lab tests, but the scientific equipment can be difficult to access in countries where these diseases strike the hardest. Stanford bioengineer Manu Prakash is trying to change that by placing a microscope and a lab in reach of every person everywhere. He's doing it by scaling things down, way down. His inspiration? Toys. KALW's Angela Johnston visited Prakash and his team and brings us this story.
Despite the familiar song, no one is celebrating a birthday here today. I'm in a lab tucked away in the basement of a Stanford University engineering building. And the song coming from the tiny hand-cranked music box is actually, well, science. This music box has a plastic chip attached to it. A little silicon box filled with tiny channels of different fluids or chemicals that can be mixed together. It was designed by Manu Prakash, a bioengineering professor here at Stanford. When you crank the handle, the gears not only make sound, they are also triggering tiny pumps in the plastic chip to release minute amounts of chemical fluids, something you need to listen even closer to hear.
This is coding a specific chemistry that we care about. When I'm running this chip, whatever code was on this will get executed as chemistry on this chip.
As you turn the tape, more chemicals get released and mixed together. Prakash says these little boxes can be used for testing everything from disease markers to soil or water quality. Now, there isn't a water quality test or any test out there that actually plays happy birthday when you run it. A simple water quality test would actually sound something like this. Simply put, it's the sound of a ratio. One reagent or chemical mixed with half of another. Prakash's research assistant, Ben Alpers, explains.
For every one hole you punch in this line, you punch three holes in the other line, and every hole is one pump of that fluid.
The more complicated the ratio, the more complicated the sound. This way of mixing chemicals together, something called microfluidics, has been around for a while. But Prakash says it requires a lot of money and infrastructure, something that doctors and scientists in developing countries don't always have easy access to.
It's an expensive enterprise. What we wanted to do was bring out this idea of being able to do controlled reactions and handling chemicals completely in an automated way, but anywhere in the world. So we built something that doesn't require any power, doesn't require any electricity.
And it only costs $5. Building inexpensive universal scientific tools like this is one of the goals of Prakash's lab at Stanford. He calls it frugal science.
We've tested our instruments in Nigeria, Uganda. We did a small trial in Ghana. We are working in Cameroon recently.
But he has another aim that's just as important, fostering a non-goal-oriented curiosity among both kids and adults. He says that's something missing in science education today.
Because early on, kids get very focused on thinking about, hey, I want to solve this problem or that problem. So the tools that we make are completely open-ended. We really don't tell people what you want to do with it.
This curiosity-driven exploration is most evident in Prakash's other invention, the Foldscope. It's a paper microscope that's built by folding, like origami.
All the components are printed flat on a sheet of paper, and then you fold it together and you get a fully functional microscope.
One that you can slip into your back pocket. It's a tough little tool. Throw it off a three-story building or in the washing machine. Prakash has tried both. The Foldscope magnifies objects over 2,000 times. It can pick up subcellular structures like parasites, microbes, things 1/1,000,000th of a meter in size. Traditional microscopes of this strength cost upwards of $1,000. The Foldscope costs 50 cents.
Even though it looks like a simple object, it's a very powerful instrument.
At a recent event at Stanford's bioengineering department, Prakash's team distributed dozens of these Foldscopes to children. They could look at anything they wanted. Legs of an ant, strands of their hair. 13-year-old Jalen Devados and her 11-year-old brother Elias built one.
We were looking at little flatworms through a paper microscope called a foldoscope. I learned that you can see any kind of organism through just a 50-cent piece of paper and plastic. I thought it was pretty cool because it only cost like 50 cents to make and it still works pretty well.
The kids are essentially beta testers, Prakash says. He has also created what he calls the 10,000 microscope project. Anyone who proposes a novel experiment with the Foldscope will get one. They received over 12,000 entries from over 130 countries, and it's still growing. They plan to ship 50,000 at the end of the month. There have been entries from award-winning chemists and biologists.
The goal is that, you know, curiosity is everywhere and every question is a good question as long as you're passionate about asking it.
And Prakash says the DIY aspect of these tools can bring a deeper understanding and empowerment.
So we enforce this idea that people are going to build these instruments, modify, hack, and do whatever they want to do on top of it, which is also the spirit of all the instruments that we make. And there lies the idea of making sure that you don't consider scientific instruments as black boxes. It's a great instrument. It's a great scientific instrument, actually, but you don't have any idea of conceptually what went in it.
Prakash believes that the world will be a healthier and better place if everybody has the chance to make a scientific discovery, regardless of where you were born, your income level, or your age.
Right now, 2 billion kids on the planet, we're not giving them the choice. We're telling them, here is a book, pass all these hoops, and if you qualify to a certain extent, then you enter the club for doing science, which is a broken model of how scientific thinking should propagate.
And because of that, Prakash hopes someday every scientist and every kid can carry a Foldscope or a music box chemistry set in their back pocket. In Palo Alto, I'm Angela Johnston for Cross Currents.
You can find this story online at kalw.org. Click on Cross Currents. That's where you'll find more information about the 10,000 microscope project and Prakash's other inventions. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. Now we'll shift our vision from the micro to the macroscopic movies. The Mill Valley Film Festival starts tonight. This year, more than half of the films on the 11-day festival schedule have a Bay Area connection. One is Finding the Gold Within from Berkeley filmmaker Karina Epperlein. The film focuses on the story of six young black men from Akron, Ohio, making the transition from high school to college. They face racism and stereotyping on their journey, but each draws strength from a mutual experience, a mentoring program for adolescents that's taught them confidence and self-respect. KALW's Ben Trefney sat down with Epperlein to learn more about Finding the Gold Within.
They have worked with Alchemy, Inc., the organization in Akron, Ohio, that works in the school system there in the Cleveland area as well, for about 4 to 7 years, some of them 7 years, for a long time. And out of all the school classes, Kwame Scruggs, the founder and head facilitator now of Alchemy, has built a core group. And this first core group that finally graduated from high school is what I then followed into their college years. And within the circle, a story is told. A whole myth is really told. And sometimes it takes several sessions because it's told to the drum. And it's an African beat, and Kwame Williams, the partner of Kwame Scruggs, is doing a beautiful job with that. It mesmerizes everybody. In fact, you get so mesmerized, my camera people too, everybody is like into this trance almost of the story.
You know how it starts. Once upon a time, there was this old king who became sick, and he requested that faithful John be summons. That was his faithful servant. So he asked faithful John that I would request that you become a foster father to my son.
That was Jerry Kwame Williams playing the drums and telling that story. He's a co-founder of Alchemy, Inc., which mentors adolescents as they grow up and become young adults. There's a process that they go through where they're asked to think about what resonates with them, and then they keep a journal and they write this in there.
Yes. Kwame always says, write down what resonated with you. And then when they speak, they don't have to speak. They can either read it or they can speak. And then what's most amazing is when they start sharing after the writing down, everybody listens. Eyes open, ears open, present. There is no fidgeting or not listening. And that really was one of the most impressive things for me.
Now let's hear a clip of one of the young men speaking in the circle. This is after the drum-assisted storytelling.
I have my uncle. I mean, that's kind of my biggest male influence. And I mean, everything he do is wrong, you know? Mm. He sell drugs. I mean, so I kind of got the aspect as, well, I can't do shit. I'm going to be a statistic. So I got in some trouble and stuff, went to jail, got out. I mean, I'm out on bail right now. I don't even speak to my mom no more. I'm not in school right now. I'm on the streets. I ain't even going to lie. I sell drugs, you know? That's how I get money. That college struggle that y'all talking about, I don't know what that feel like, you know? It's everybody for themselves. That's what I grew up knowing, you know? I'm facing up a felony too right now for robbery and an assault. When I got out of jail, I was cool for a week, and then I was right back to the same thing that got me in jail, you know? I don't know, man. I don't know. It's just hard, you know?
Hey, thanks for sharing that. Dre, just look out for him.
We got you.
Thanks, CJ. Thanks.
Okay, that was a young man named CJ, and it's clear how safe he feels in that circle. I mean, with his peers, with his mentors, it's a safe space for him. I'm wondering, when a young man's struggling like that, how does that organization support him beyond the circle?
They have, like here he says, Dre help him. You know, they have had a couple of younger men who then look out and stay in contact with them and, you know, give them advice where to go to ask for help and offer themselves help. The wonderful thing is that he actually hung in. He got through just a 2 week of jail. And then this is really the help of this program, you know, that he kept his spirit up. He's now doing the rapping, and he's a really good rapper, so people buying him basically for that, and he makes some money. You know, we all say be a little careful with that too, because some of that is really just the gangster rap, and it might not be in the long run really what he needs. But they're pushing for applying to college and things like that and giving them hope. And so he came back to reunions each time, and I would see him better and better. And that just really, I mean, that was just meant so much to me.
That's Berkeley filmmaker Karina Epperlein, who directed Finding the Gold Within. Let's listen to one more clip where one of the mentors shares this story with a group of elementary school kids.
You ready to go on that journey? Once upon a time.
It's about a hungry hunter who catches a boa constrictor. He's planning to kill it and eat it, but the snake tells him that if he lets it live,
I will make you the richest man on earth.
So after he tells the story, Kwame Scruggs asks the kids to think about it and decide what would they choose to do.
Okay, Darren, what you gonna do?
Okay, I will not kill the boa because I will sacrifice to take the money, and I will trust the snake.
Ajante, what you gonna do and why?
I will just wait to be rich beyond his wildest dream because I might get lucky and catch a bunny or something.
Shut up.
I said I would kill him and sell his skin and eat him because, well, I'm hungry, so I gotta eat or I'm gonna freak out. So, okay. Yeah.
Okay. For the majority of urban youth, okay, we always going for what we can get right now. Okay, you want to start making sacrifices for longer down the road. Okay, so you want to start doing your homework, yeah, in the classroom, making your sacrifices right now.
And then they begin drumming. I'd like you to describe, because we're radio, you're a filmmaker, what's happening then as they start drumming.
As they start drumming, then, is a sort of an ecstasy has entered the room, and a happiness. And this is the magic that I was telling you early on when we started. And so then they jump up. One of them jumps up and starts dancing, and the others join in. And it is the pure joy of being alive.
These children.
The children just, and you just kind of known from those comments before you've heard that some of them maybe are in real life hungry. When he says, I don't want to go hungry, that might be true. The mother might be working 3-4 jobs. So to see that erupt, and you know, again, it's like your heart just jumps. And I wanted to evoke that for an audience to, you know, use these very highly charged moments.
That's documentary filmmaker Karina Epperlein, who directed Finding the Gold Within. She spoke with KALW's Ben Trefney. The movie's world premiere is tomorrow night at 8 p.m. at the Lark Theater in Larkspur. And if you go, you'll get to hear a talk by the director and 5 of the young men profiled in the movie. Find more information at KALW.org. Click on Cross Currents. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. And now it's time for Audiograph, the Bay Area's sonic signature. Here's Audiograph's Julie Kane to bring you the answer to this week's mystery sound.
Thanks, Hanat. All week long, we've been playing you this sound.
If I want them to come, then I just use simple like, come, 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 come. They know that I need them to come.
We asked you what it was and where you think we recorded it. We sent KALW's Holly J. McDeed to bring us the story behind the sound.
In the farm animal kingdom social ladder, horses are the majestic ones. Cows are sacred, pigs are fat, and goats eat, and then eat some more. They eat like it's their job. And at City Grazing, a landscaping business that rents out goats, it is.
I'm very familiar with animals. I specialize in goats.
That's Trevorton Rose. He's one of City Grazing's resident goat whisperers. He makes sure the goats devour San Francisco's unwanted weeds with the efficiency of businessmen.
Then I would just like make a whistle like, so everybody look in, everybody knows that they need to leave that area.
When the goats are not out on the job, they hang out in San Francisco's Bayview District between the railroad tracks and a cement recycling plant. The eco-conscious among us who don't want to use toxic herbicides to kill weeds can rent these gentle, hooved creatures.
If I want them to come, then I just use simple like, come, 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 come. They know that I need them to come. If I want them to run, I say, hop, hop, hop.
You might not be able to tell from his Jamaican accent, but goat whisperer Treverton Rose is a goat.
I'm a goat myself. I'm an Aries. We actually band together. Me and this species of animal real band together.
Rose learned how to talk to goats from his father, a farmer in Jamaica. And his father learned how to talk to goats from his father, who learned how to talk to goats from, you can probably guess. 2 years ago, when Rose went back to Jamaica to visit his family, City Grazing needed a replacement goat whisperer, and fast. So naturally, they posted an ad on Craigslist. Genevieve Church signed up.
I grew up on a cattle ranch, and we had a lot of animals. And I just thought of it as a nostalgic little temp gig. Sure, I can come and take care of these animals. And it turned into, now, a very full-time position.
Instead of relying on specific words or sounds to rally the goats, Church likes to look thoughtfully into their eyes, say their names, and offer them treats. That's because
if you pull up onto Mission Street with a truck full of goats and you've got to get them into a backyard, you don't want those animals basing their next movement off of fear. You want them to trust you.
She introduces me to some of her friends.
This is Spock. Spock got named. Spock and Marvin got named after aliens because they have very pointy ears. Mary Rose is trying to eat your sweater. Goats are opportunists. If they smell anything that smells like it might be unusually tasty, they will eat it.
That's why this business works. Goats eat anything. But there's more to goats than eating. There's the goat's good looks. Mary Rose has droopy ears. Spock has big, pointy horns. Lebowski is a sweet giant. These goats have been rented out for parties, educational programs, and even television commercials.
This is an important moment in our journey to help. A project that began.
That was the sound of a goat, a screaming goat from City Grazing. Goats making strange sounds like that have become something of an internet phenomenon. The YouTube video These Sounds Come From has more than 5 million views. City Grazing's goats don't scream while they're on the job, though, because they're busy being happy little lawnmowers getting the job done. Now, there are a lot of oddball spectacles in San Francisco, but City Grazing's herd of goats never fails to surprise onlookers.
Yeah, people want to know, what's going on? What is this? What's going on here?
Sometimes the goats are even used as fire abatement. Especially in a drought, it's really important for all that dry brush to be gone. As far as glorified farm animals, these goats deserve to be right up there with horses. Perhaps us humans could learn from them and find a way to use our occasionally goat-like appetites for good.
Come, 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 hey!
In the Bayview, for Audiograph, I'm Holly J. McDeed.
Man, take that goat out of here.
Now, sometimes we play sounds that we think will be really easy to identify, and sometimes we play sounds that seem more obscure. We thought this week's Audiograph would be really hard to guess, but we were wrong. Lots of you knew exactly what, where, and who that was. We are impressed. Our winner this week is Deborah Benedict. Congratulations! We're going to send you a KALW t-shirt. For the rest of you, thanks for listening and thanks for playing. I'm Julie Kane.
Hey!
That's it for today's Cross Currents from KALW News. Our team includes Todd Barnes, Leela Day, Audrey Dilling, Sandhya Dirks, Rachel Dornhelm, Nina Gensler-Debs, Ashley Ann Krigbaum, Colin Peden, Seth Samuel, The Great, Raja Shah, and Stephen Short. Today's show is engineered by Chris Hoff, The Great. Line producer was Ashley Ann Krigbaum. Our senior producers are Julie Kane and Jen Chien. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. And you are a big part of our show, and we love to hear from you. So email us at news@kalw.org, or you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at KALW. Because of you, we can say we are listener-supported public radio. These are the Bernal Hill Players. They explore the connections between classical and folk music, and they'll play at the Officers Club on Sunday in San Francisco's Presidio. Show starts at 3 p.m. For Cross Currents, I'm Hanat Baba.